Good morning. It's good to be here again for my second time. I guess that means I didn't do anything and not get invited back. And good to see you. I think about this morning, it's been on my mind, that something that happened in the last chapter of Luke, where Jesus, after the resurrection, was walking down the road with some Emmaus disciples, on the road to Emmaus. And he was teaching them the scriptures, and it said, they said, "Behold how our hearts did burn within us as he taught us the scriptures." You ever had that happen to you? I remember the church, and I can see the pew and hear the pastor's voice years ago. When I first heard the truth that I want to talk to you about this morning, and it was burned permanently in my soul. I've never gotten over it. That's what I hope and pray would happen to you this morning, if it's not already happened, based on this truth from Scripture. Let's pray and ask God to do that. Lord, I don't have the power in my brain or muscles or anything about me to do what Jesus did on that road to Emmaus. But Holy Spirit, you do. And I pray that you'd use me and my voice and my face and my hands and my tone, everything about it, Lord, to make clear the scripture, and Holy Spirit, that you would give power and that you would burn in our hearts this truth. Oh, just open all our eyes to the beautiful truth of this of your word. And I pray that everyone in this room will just draw closer to you in the way we're going to talk about this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What I want to talk to you about is purpose. Why, before we ever walked this earth, did God decide, "I'm going to make human beings"? He already had angels that were stronger than we are, can worship better than we can. Why did he need us? Why did he decide that? What was his purpose? You know, so much depends upon purpose. Knowing the right purpose and doing it. Usefulness to God depends upon purpose. He uses us based upon our fulfilling his purpose. Let me give you this illustration. One time I walked into a friend of mine owns a jewelry store, and I walked into his store and I said, Hank, what's the most expensive pen you sell? And he says, "Well, I don't keep it in stock, but I can get a cross pen, a gold pen that retails for about $1,000. Whoa, $1,000 cross pen. Now, this is not a $1,000 cross pen. Just for the sake of illustration, let's play like this was a $1,000 cross pen. It's not. I don't even know if this one writes, but it's in my drawer. Well, here is I'm going to call a 39-cent Bic pen. You probably have a drawer full of them at home. Let's say that I need to write a letter or fill out a check or something, and there on my desk at home is a $1,000 cross pen and a 39-cent Bic pen. But I need to write a letter, fill out. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'll just be honest with you. I'm going to try that $1,000 pen first, wouldn't you? So I pick up that $1,000 pen, and I start writing out my check, and nothing happens, and I scribble on a piece of paper, and I can't get it to work. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lay that sucker aside, pick up that 39-cent Bic pen, and it just writes perfectly. In the eyes of the world, this is way more valuable. But as far as my using it for my purpose, I'm going to use the one that works, the one that does what it's supposed to do, and God's that way with us. Now, not only is usefulness based upon purpose, but satisfaction is based upon purpose. If I have a construction company, and I go out and I build this wonderful fire station, but I find out I was supposed to have built a hospital, there's no satisfaction in that. A fire station makes a crummy hospital, doesn't it? So I wouldn't feel like I did what I was supposed to do and get some satisfaction from it. You know, decisions are dependent upon purpose. If when we leave here after this service and after your business meeting, and we don't really have any destination, any place we're headed toward, then at every intersection, we have to decide, well, am I going to go left, right, or straight? Or just sit here? But if I know a certain restaurant or where my house is and things that I can see my destination in my mind, well, at every intersection, I know, well, here, right here you go right. Right here you go straight. The decisions to get there are easy when I know where I'm going. So that's what I want to talk about. There are many purposes probably we could come up within our lives and in scriptures, but this one is supreme. It's the top of the list. It's found a lot of places in scripture. I'm just going to pick four verses, four of them, to show you where it is. Listen for it in this verse. You may have never noticed it in this verse, but it's here. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things don't work together for good to just everybody. No, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And that's not talking about two different groups. Those are the same. They're inseparable. That His purpose is that we love Him. Listen to this one. Oh, I love this verse. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. James 1:12 is a powerful one. It says, God has a crown of life prepared for those who love Him. I like the sound of that. There is a special crown in heaven for those who love Him when they get there. Now, this is the I'm going to share one more. This is the clearest of all. I mean, there's just no getting around this one. In Mark 12, Jesus was in a debate with the teachers of the law, the scribes and Pharisees, those guys. They were always after Jesus. And they were arguing with Him about which is the greatest of all the commandments. They had hundreds of laws and commandments. And Jesus says, you're all wrong. You're all wrong. You may want to keep those laws. And then He calls, in the Greek language, it's the mega commandment. The most superlative word you can come up with in the Greek language. We have books, Megatrends and Megabucks and those kind of, this huge, gigantic commandment. You remember what He said? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. That means from the top of your head till the bottom of your feet. Every muscle you've got, every hair on your body, every thought in your brain, you are to love Him. That's our supreme purpose. That's why God wanted us. If we're not doing that, we're failing. Now, how do you know if you love Him? How do you know that? Well, I want to suggest some ways. And you're going to... If you see yourselves in these, you're going to realize that, man, I do love the Lord. Or if you're here this morning and you thought, well, you know, I really want to love Him in the future more than I have in the past. Well, you start doing these things, you'll find yourself loving Him more. Let me give you the first one. I've noticed that people who love each other say it. They tell each other. They speak it with their mouth. I heard about a married couple. They'd been married 30 years. And the wife came to the husband and says, honey, you know, years ago you used to tell me that you loved me, but you hadn't said that in years. And he says, well, I told you 30 years ago, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. You think she accepted that? No way. She needs to hear it way more often than that. And all of us do. Now let me just ask you this. Since your feet hit the floor this morning, have you told the Lord that you love Him? Have you said that to Him? This week, when was the last time you did this? You went to the Lord and got along with Him, not to ask Him for anything, not to lay any burden upon Him. Now those are things we ought to do in prayer. Nothing wrong with those. But have you ever gone to Him just to say, Lord, I'm just here for one thing. I just love You. I just want to tell You I love You. I have a friend, a pastor friend, who told me about a lady in his church that teaches children in Sunday school. And he says, I can always tell children that have been through her class because they're willing to pray. I mean, she works at developing them, for them to agree to pray and just lets them pray out loud and just rejoices in whatever prayers they pray. It says, but I noticed the ones that have been in her class, whenever they pray, they always say this phrase in their prayers. I love you, Jesus. That's a good thing to teach children to pray, isn't it? They always say that. So one of the ways, something we've got to do, if we love the Lord like we ought, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we ought to tell him. We ought to say it with our mouth. I tell you what, let's just practice right now what those little kids say in their prayer. I love you, Jesus. Say it with me.
I love you, Jesus.
Oh, that's a good thing. Say that a bunch all the rest of the day, would you? Okay, here's a second way. When people love each other, when we love the Lord, we'll want to get together with him alone. I've noticed this about couples start dating and fall in love. Do you have to remind them to spend some time alone? Oh, you can't keep them apart. You just try. They're going to find a way every day to be by themselves, just the two of them, because they love each other. It's a part of their relationship. How about your quiet time with the Lord? This past week, were there times you got off by yourself because you needed to be together alone with him? I had a real precious time with one of my grandsons. Two or three weeks ago, we spent a week with our grandsons in Waco. And one morning, I was out sitting in a chair out on the lawn and just reading my Bible and just praying, that kind of thing. And one of my grandsons came out there and found me. And he says, Papa, what you doing? And he climbed up in my lap. And I says, well, I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying. And I told him, I have found that if you get off by yourself reading the Bible, getting quiet, listening, you can hear the voice of God. You know, we have a hymn that says that. I come to the garden alone while the dew's still on the roses. And the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me and he talks with me. Friends, if you love the Lord, you're going to have a desire in your heart to be alone with him. That's where you get to know him. I promise you, I just give you that guarantee like I did my grandson. This week, you get off by yourself reading this book, which is his voice on paper, listening, wanting to hear from him, you'll hear his voice. And you'll get to know him and love him better. Here's another way. People who love each other tell others about it. And when we love the Lord, we're going to want to talk about him and tell him. Tell others about him. I guarantee you this happens every week in the high schools of America. There's a high school girl walking down the hallway, and she notices a fellow walk by and turns her head, and she follows him, watches him go out of sight. At lunch, she's sitting with her girlfriend. She can't wait to talk about him. Do you know so-and-so? Oh, isn't he a dreamboat or whatever the word is now about a guy? Mr. And she does that every day at lunch so much that before the end of the week, her girlfriends are saying, oh, no, here she comes. She's going to talk about Mr. Wonderful. You know, Jesus said that was going to happen. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 12? The mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. Whatever your heart is full of, it's going to leak out up here. Friends, I believe a witness problem is always a love problem. We love him like we ought to. We're going to want to talk about the Savior that we love that's just so good to us. Here's another one. When we love him, we're going to be willing and glad to give to him. We're not going to be stingy with him. My son and his wife, I never have to call up my son a week or two before his wife's birthday and say, now, Drew, don't forget, her birthday's coming up. You be sure to remember it. You be sure to get her a gift. I've never had to do that because he's all over it. And he doesn't resent doing that. Oh, I just loves to give to her. That's the way we are. If we love him like we ought, give it. The giving issue is settled. You know, in Proverbs chapter 3, it says we are to give to him out of the first fruits of all our increase. Whatever he brings to us, we gladly give it right back. In Malachi 3, there's a commandment that we are commanded by God to tithe 10% of whatever he comes to. If you don't, it says you're stealing from God. You're robbing from God. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 9:7, I think it is. He says, God loves a cheerful giver. I mean, glad to give to him. And in John 14:21, Jesus says, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, he's the one that loves me. I mean, our willingness to give to our Lord and his work and his ministry and his church tells us something about our love for him or lack of love for him. Here's another one. When we love him, we're going to love the same things he loves. Imagine a college campus. Big old guy, he's the linebacker on the football team at college. Big old strong, muscular guy. And he has a class with a young lady. He just is smitten with her and falls in love with her and just notices her. And he finds out she's interested in ballet. She is down at this auditorium working on preparing a program to dance in the ballet. And guess what? Night of her performance in that ballet, he's sitting on the front row. He's never known anything about ballet, never had any interest. But because she loves it, he's decided, I'm going to love it too. You know some things God loves? He loves his book. He loves the church. He loves praying. He loves singing in worship. He loves Lord's Supper and baptism, those kind of things. Friends, if we love him, we're going to love those things just like he does. Let me give you one more. When people love each other, they're glad to serve each other. You remember Peter. Peter denied Jesus three times, cursed, and said, I don't even know him. I mean, he just was shameful in how he acted that night of the crucifixion. He was scared. The other disciples had already run off. At least Peter was there. And a couple of weeks later, they were up on the Sea of Galilee and been fishing, and they came to the shore, and Jesus cooked them fish. It says, this is John 21. Beautiful scene there in John 21. And Jesus knew that Peter was going to be very significant in the early church. I mean, Jesus knew. Peter didn't know it yet. But Peter knew he's going to be preaching some powerful sermons at Pentecost and other places. Thousands are going to come to Christ through Peter's preaching. And do you remember what Jesus said to him? He said, Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Three times, Peter, do you love me? Then tend my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Jesus knew those were inseparable. Serving him and doing what God wants you to do and loving him, I mean, or just make all the difference in the world. Max Lucado, in his book, The Applause of Heaven, tells a powerful story about a woman who had a horrible marriage. Get ready, this is horrible. She had a husband who was just as mean as a snake and dominating and just wouldn't help her around the house with chores and things like that. Matter of fact, this is what he would do. Before he would leave for work every day, he would hand her a list of chores that he expected to be done before he got home from work. Hey, what do you think about that, ladies? Is that up or down? And she knew if she didn't do those chores before he got home that she was going to face his rage and his anger. Well, thank goodness, after some years, that man died. And she eventually met another fellow, married her a second time, and this fellow was totally different. He was a kind husband, good husband, helped her and was appreciative. I mean, he wasn't a boss to her, that kind of thing. But one day while her second husband was at work, she was doing chores around the house, and she came across one of her first husband's lists. She looked at that list, and she realized that that very day she had done every item on that list. But now she'd done it for a totally different reason. She wasn't doing it out of fear. Wasn't doing it because she had to. She was doing it out of love. It was a joy to do it. And you know, you can preach and sing and teach Sunday school, do all kinds of tasks in the church and not do it out of love, and it'll be dry and dead and empty. I want to close by talking about some. There are some things about this subject in Scripture that don't fit in other categories that I've given you. I'm going to just call them warnings. There are some warnings about this. Listen carefully. We've got to be careful that it's not the blessings of God that we're loving instead of Him. That we, Manly Beasley, evangelist that had a great influence on my life, his son pastors in Hot Springs now. But Manly Beasley, I heard him share this one time. And when he would travel doing revival meetings for a week or two at a time, and he'd come home, he got in the habit of buying a gift for his children. Little something to give him when he got home. And he says, one time when I came home, I'd be gone all week, and I came home and parked in the driveway, and my kids saw me from the front door, and they came running down the sidewalk, and they went right past me and got in the car and got out my suitcase, and they took it into the house, laid it on the bed to open up to see what I'd brought them. They were more interested in the gifts than the giver. More interested in the blessings of their father than the Father Himself. And oh, we've got to make sure we don't do that. And that this love we're talking about, it's not His blessings we love. It's Him. There's a beautiful story in Luke 7 about a woman who came to a house where Jesus was at a dinner. And she had been a sinful woman. We know that from the New Testament. And she came in and she headed straight for Jesus. And she got on her face on the floor at His feet. And she was crying and her tears fell on His feet. She dried her tears on His feet with her hair. And she took some expensive ointment and put on His feet. Remember what Jesus said about her? Luke 7. She loves much because she's been forgiven much. You see, whether or not we've been forgiven by the Lord is really inseparable from our love for Him. If we don't love Him like I'm talking about, it may mean we never have been forgiven by Him. That we need to come to Him in a genuine way and be forgiven by Him. Or it means we have just gotten so cold and we've forgotten what it cost for us to know Him and be forgiven by Him that our love has grown cold. One final thing. I wish I didn't have to share this because it's the most harsh of any of them. But it's very clear in the Bible, and I'm going to just close with it. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus wrote letters through John, the disciple who was taking this godly dictation from Jesus, to seven churches that actually existed in that part of the world. And the very first one was a letter to the Ephesians in chapter 2, Revelation. And Ephesians was one of the best churches in the whole New Testament. John pastored there, and historians think Mary attended that church, was a part of that church till she died. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well, Jesus said all kinds of good things about the Ephesian church in that letter in Revelation 2. He bragged on that church. But at the end of that letter, he says, but, always look out when you hear that, but, I have this one thing against you. I have something against you. He says, you have left your first love. You don't love me like you once did. There was a time earlier when you loved me more than right now. And you might remember what he said they had to do because of that? You need to repent. Now, if Jesus uses the word repent, that means we need to come to him and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I mean, it sounds like sin, doesn't it? Let me ask you, has there ever been a time in your life that you've loved Jesus more than right now? Then God's word says repent, turn around, go the other direction, ask his forgiveness. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Would you just sing with me? There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in mine ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Okay, just in the quietness here as we close this service, if you love him, tell him you love him. Just tell him. Are you going to spend some time alone with him because you love him this week? If you love him as you ought, he is going to come up in your conversation. You just, if it fills your heart, you aren't going to be able to keep it in. And how's your giving to him? Are you stingy with him, or are you generous because you love him? Is serving him, I hope you're serving him through this church. Is your service a joy to you, or is it a drudgery? Has it gotten old? And make sure you don't love just his blessings. We got to love him. Even if he never blessed us another time, we love him. And oh, let your love flow from how precious it is that he's forgiven you. Oh, his forgiveness of our sinful past. Oh, just throw gasoline on our love, the fire of love in our hearts. Now, we have this time of invitation just in a second. Would you just do whatever is in your heart? You may want to love him, bow before him there where you're sitting, or here at the altar. Whatever you need to do, just like that Mary did in Luke 7. You respond as God leads you. We're going to stand and sing. Would you do that? Randy's going to come. Let's stand and sing. All right. I'll be down here to the front if I could counsel with you, have prayer with you. But you respond to this message any way God leads you.